Welcome to episode 17 of the Canescast, alongside Hurricanes.com's web editor, web reporter. He is the man. We all enjoy his work online and his tweet mail. He's Michael Smith.
Oh, yeah. I need some tweet mail questions. If anybody has tweet mail questions, send them to me with hashtag tweet mail. And you are TV's Mike Maniscalco of Fox Sports Carolinas and CarolinaHurricanes.com. And NHL Network recently, too.
Yeah, ArenaCam. Yeah, thank you very much, Toronto. So had to tape up the microphone for them, and it seemed to work out for everybody. So we're all good.
How awkward is that, looking up at the bottom of the scoreboard?
Oh, I actually don't mind it because of my size. When you look up, when the camera shoots down at you, you actually look smaller.
There you go.
It's perfect. It's all good. It's an optical illusion. That's what we come up with today.
It's the pleats.
Yeah, but what is not an optical illusion, well done, is the Canes in their last five games, Michael, are 3-0-2. That is a point streak, and this is something right now where you hope that this is the sense of things are starting to build for this team, because the disappointment of only getting 1 point in Colorado and Arizona has kind of been washed away with a big win over Columbus in a huge third period, depending on when you're listening to the Canescast, but hopefully it's before the team plays the Islanders coming up on Thursday night. A huge third period where they broke open a 1-1 game with the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, and I think when you look at this team through the lens of just a couple of days, you take the feeling that I think probably most of us had on Sunday, and you look at that game on Saturday night against the Chicago Blackhawks. The Hurricanes come into the third period with a lead, and they ultimately manage just a point in an overtime loss. And Sunday's kind of it's disappointing. You're disappointed that, you know, a point is all the team came away with. But then you come back on Monday night, and like you said, a big third period where it was 1-1 heading into the final 20 minutes, and of course Teuvo Teravainen with the natural hat trick, the first hat trick of his career, and then Jeff Skinner in pure garbage time fashion getting a goal for all those fantasy owners out there. I'm sure they love that. And then it completely sort of changes the spectrum of the Hurricanes' last five games. You go from being disappointed about only getting a point to looking at it and saying, well, the team has captured 8 of a possible 10 points in their last five games, 3-0-2. That's pretty good. And if the Hurricanes can do that more often than not, they're going to be just fine from here on out.
Well, coming up here on this edition of the Canescast, we're not stalling. Maybe that could be it. But Jordan Staal will be joining us here. We'll get his take on not just the Dallas Stars game, but what's different about this Canes team. That's all coming up. Plus, another edition of If You Like It, Take It.
Or if not, send it right back.
So we are looking forward to that. But before we get into those elements, what has changed since November 5th on this team? If you look, November 5th to me is the day after the disappointing loss against the Arizona Coyotes. What is different from this hockey team in games against Florida, Columbus, Chicago, and then Dallas than what we saw before that?
Well, they've gotten to 3 more regularly since then. That, for some reason, I stumble over the word regularly. But yeah, they got to 3 against Florida. They got to 3 against Columbus. They got to 3 against Chicago. That didn't prove to be enough, unfortunately. and then they surged well past 3 against Dallas. So what I think you're seeing is a team maybe finding its rhythm offensively. It's going to take time, to see if this team truly has found the rhythm that they're looking for. But I think recent results seem to indicate that the team is finding somewhat of a groove, and that is without regular contributions from the power play. The power play scored its first goal in 6 games on Monday night against Dallas. If the team starts to get contributions on the power play on a regular basis, you're going to see this team should have no problems scoring goals night in and night out. That's been one thing I've noticed. What about you?
I think for me, if you look at it from 3,000 feet, the goaltending. The goaltending has given them a chance to win just about every game this year. There have been a couple of clunkers, and that's going to happen over the case of 82.
Right.
But, Mike, just going back, just November alone, all right, give up 5 against Colorado, that's a bad performance. But you only give up 1 in regulation to Arizona, you lose that game in overtime. You only give up 1 to Florida, 1 to Columbus. The Chicago game turns into 4, but that's overtime, so 3 in regulation, 1 to Dallas. And in that stretch, both Cam Ward and Scott Darling have played. Both had a game that they'd like to erase. Cam would like to erase that Colorado game for sure, and I think that Scott Darling would give anything to give that Chicago game back where he's up 3-1 in the third period and can't seal the deal.
Right.
So they both had a stumbling point. But then Cam Ward goes into Columbus and is absolutely brilliant in the 3-1 win over the Blue Jackets. And the other night against Dallas, a really strong performance from Scott Darling, and he was pretty strong against Arizona too. So the goaltending is giving the guys in front of them the chance to win these games, where if you can get to three, that's Bill Peters, we've heard that mantra, and he's banged that drum a lot, it's a race to three. Well, if the Canes get to three, it used to be maybe. Now if you get to three, it should be 2 points or at least a point for this hockey club.
Right, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast before too, but for the first time in and I think a good while, the Hurricanes have a strong 1-2 punch in net. No matter who they go to on a nightly basis, whether it's Darling or Ward, I think they're giving them a good chance to be successful.
Yeah.
And that's a different dynamic than what the Hurricanes have had in previous years. They've tried to find it, through a variety of backup goaltenders, but there hasn't been sort of this recipe that's been successful, and recently they found some consistency in the crease, and that's good. That's good for Scott Darling. It's good for Cam Ward. It's good for this hockey team, and I think they're only going to get better. You look at a guy like Scott Darling who transitioning into, a starting goaltender role, it takes a little bit of time. It takes a little bit of just getting used to what that day-to-day rhythm is.
Yeah.
And I think Cam Ward has probably been, a real good mentor in that aspect, because Ward has been around it for many years and can, sort of show Scott Darling the ropes. I think Mike Bales, the new goaltending coach, plays a big part in both of their success. So it's been good to watch. Good for the Hurricanes. Especially now that their offense seems to be coming around.
Well, speaking of that offense, let's walk it back a little bit.
Yep.
Brock McGinn, if we include the Dallas game, has 4 goals in 4 games. But he had 4 goals in 3 games and was darn near close to getting his 5th. Hits the post, hits the crossbar, hits the post.
Yeah.
On a great backhand shot that beat Ben Bishop. It didn't cross the line. But Brock McGinn has been on fire. No redhead joke there, just so you know. But he's been on fire offensively. He also, Michael, brings the one part to this team that they need. And if we can talk about that they could lack as a whole, people like to look at the center position, but some grit, some sandpaper, some physical play on the outside, he brings that. He's a sandpaper guy. He's an irritant to play against. That's a good thing if he's on your team. And now the skill is starting to come through. His brother Jamie has scored in this league. Now Brock McGinn is starting to find that offense. That backhand is filthy.
That's sick.
Just filthy.
I mean, it was a beautiful goal against Chicago. Nearly scored about the same thing while falling to the ice against Ben Bishop and the Dallas Stars. Ultimately, of course, didn't count, to the dismay of us all. But he's been...
Dan O'Halloran thought it was good. I say, let's get rid of replay and just go with what the referee said.
Good instinct, right? here's the thing about Brock McGinn is you kind of hit on all the points there is... He is really the one guy in the Hurricanes lineup who they can rely on a nightly basis to bring that physicality. And I think we would all like to see the Hurricanes as a whole be more physical. But Brock McGinn is that guy who's going to, nail a guy in the neutral zone. He's going to get to the dirty areas. You saw him Monday night against Dallas. They put him on the power play just for the simple fact of putting him in front of the net. He's going to go to the top of the crease, stand in front of Ben Bishop's eyes. Kind of hard to do. Ben Bishop's a very tall man.
6'7". That's not on skates. On skates, he's 90 feet tall.
Right. He's and Brock McGinn may, have to wave his stick or some sort of sorcery like that. But he's sort of the complete package of physicality, of offensive ability, which we've seen here recently. And he's tough. He's tough. He took a shot off the shin the other night
against Chicago, yeah.
Limped off to the bench, gutted it out, and scored a goal soon after that. So he's a player that is sort of an old schooler, we'll call him, an old schooler.
Right, and definitely. And there's things that we have talked to other players in the locker room about. We talked to Bill Peters about it, and a matter of fact, before the Stars game, because the question was, would Brock McGinn be able to play because of the puck off of the shin from the Chicago game? And Bill Peters said, he's tough. You know, he wants to play. He has success. We put him on the power play. He'll be out there. And what was the line? I asked him, can you go? Yeah, I can go.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even – Brock McGinn didn't even
hesitate. He's questionable
for
the game, and Bill Peters was like, he's playing.
He's going to play. Don't worry about that.
Questionable means probable.
All right. So this is the Canes Cast, the podcast that Michael Smith from Hurricanes.com, web editor, web reporter, and all-around burger connoisseur, and yours truly, Mike Maniscalco, put out here for you.
TV's Mike Maniscalco.
Thank you very much. That is growing acceptance.
That's good.
That's good to hear. I'm happy to provide that. You want to go with another individual player, or do we want to put a line together for the next topic?
Let's put a line together, because I think it's one that you look at. The Hurricanes have had success with this line before, the TSA line.
That is correct. Teravainen, Staal, and Aho, Tavo, Jordan, and Sebastian. They have put up points in the last seven games. They have racked up point after point. Jordan Staal right now has 8 assists, I think, in the last 7 games. Maybe 9. I might be shortchanging him one. Sebastian Aho, do you feel it? The air's a little lighter around here.
Yeah.
He was walking a little taller today around the locker room. The monkey is off of the back, the proverbial monkey, as I heard you say today.
Yes, there's not actually a monkey.
Or as I said, the 5,000-pound ton weight that was on his back. That's 2 tons plus much more. It's off of his back. He scores a beautiful shot that goes, he just holds, and forces Ben Bishop to open up the 5 hole, slips the puck through for the goal.
And that's the one thing with these big goaltenders is
5 holes there.
The 5 hole is large, and if you can get him moving side to side, it's there for the taking.
And then Tavo Teravainen, already mentioned, his first NHL hat trick. He does it in, 7 minutes and 5 seconds officially?
Yeah,
I saw 7:04, but it's the fastest natural hat trick in the league this year. That line, that could be that scoring punch line that the Canes were looking for, to be the one, okay, who scares the other team? This line could be one that could scare the other team.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, too, that they're doing this while drawing the opponent's best line, too. They're the Hurricanes, you know, I guess you could call them shutdown line. They're tasked with, opposing the other team's top line. So while they're doing that, they're also contributing offensively. That's the complete package. That's exactly what you want in a line, and they certainly found it, especially last night. You know, for a team that has been looking for goals, for Teravainen to come through with 3 in such short work was very impressive.
Well, with that, why don't we bring on our guest here on the Canes Cast, episode 17. We're not stalling.
Jordan Staal.
Right now, Jordan, 3-0-2 in the last 5. Can you kind of sense, you know, things are starting to build with the team? You've been on teams that have won championships. Can you sense that, hey, we're getting that good feeling in the locker room right now?
Yeah, I think we've been doing a lot of good things as of late, and we've been trying to string some games together and really start to move up standings and stuff like that. Definitely, there's no time to take a breath. We got to continue to get better and improve and do the day-to-day things if we're going to want to continue to win.
You look at your line with Seabass and Turbo. What worked the other night? Obviously, the big third period to propel you guys over Dallas. But what works about you guys as a line?
Those two players, they're just so very talented. And, I think they might have some secret plays that I don't know about between the two. But beyond that, they both just know how to play hockey. They're both got great smarts and great skill and great vision. And when you got players like that, it makes it easy to move the puck and know where guys are going. And those two have been really good for us as of late.
You've become an assist machine of late. Is there an art to the pass, like the one that you set up for Sebastian's first? Are you thinking just get it to him as quick as I can, or are you actually thinking I can draw the defenseman over? I see him with the middle drive. What's when you're in a situation like that? What's going through your mind?
For Seabass's goal, I was just trying to get a handle on the puck, and the guy just bailed on me. So I was fortunate enough to kind of keep skating down and make sure I was out of his way to get it by him, and I was just thrown into an area and let him do the work. And obviously he had a great finish there. And with the other ones, when you got a D zone face-off win point, you're having a great night. So that was a nice one. And then I don't know, there's a couple other rolling passes, but beyond that, it was a fun night to play.
I think we're with the way too modest Jordan Staal here on our podcast, the Canes Cast, right now. Mr. Smith, can you maybe make him unmodest?
Well, I was going to ask about another pass you made last night. Just the whole sequence on Teravainen's hat trick goal there, working with Seabass along the near boards to get the puck back and then finding Turbo open in the middle. Just what happened in that play?
Yeah, just a great forecheck by Seabass. He was continually pestering guys, and they were trying to make little plays like we do coming out of the zone, and it just kind of didn't work out for them, and we were continuing to keep pressing on him, and we got a quick bounce, and I actually heard Turbo, so he said some words out there, and he was open, and obviously had a great release on the shot, so it was it was a lot of good things that happened in that one little shift.
All right, we need to get dirty for a second, and that's going to the front of the net, and you take a pounding, and you got to take away the goaltender's eyes. You can explain to us, because you do this as much as anybody in the league, just what goes on when you're trying to stand in front of the goalie and set up a screen and make sure that Sebastian or Tavo get a shot that can go through. How tough is it, and how bad does it get on the body when you're standing there?
Yeah, there's definitely some additional pieces of equipment I've put on my body to make sure that those continual ones in front don't bruise you up too much. So, those have been over the years pad me up. And but beyond that, it's a spot that good teams go to, and those are where goals are scored. And goalies are so good nowadays that if they're going to see it, the odds are they're going to make the save. So getting in front of him, whether it's just across or standing right in front of his eyes like Lindy did last night, it's a big part of scoring goals, and it's a big part of my game.
You've got a good looking stash coming in. Who has the best one in the room right now?
Well, Falker cheated. I think he started about 3 months ago, but beyond that, there's been some greasy ones out there. I like Nordy's. It's simple. Don't really notice it until you really take a look at it. Kind of like mine. Not too dark or anything like that. So there's some good ones out there, and all for a good cause.
As a captain, though, is it maybe your obligation to tell some guys, just kick in the money. Don't worry about the mustache.
Yeah, there's a few. Probably myself, to be honest. This is the first time I've ever done it. My wife looks at me every day and shakes her head. So it's been interesting. But like I said, so it's all for a good cause.
All right, one last thing with American Thanksgiving coming up. And I have to say that because you are a Canadian citizen. You also have Canadian Thanksgiving in October. Are you allowed to celebrate two Thanksgivings, Jordan?
Unfortunately, we didn't do it this year, but previous years we have, and it's been amazing. the amount of food you get to eat while celebrating two Thanksgivings is perfect, and then just roll right in the Christmas. So it's a fantastic time of year. Thanksgiving is there's a lot to be thankful for me and my family. So it's always a good time of year.
I wish I could celebrate both Canadian and American Thanksgiving.
Oh,
and I also wish I could grow a mustache.
It would be wonderful to celebrate both. But do they eat the same foods?
It's the same food.
It's Thanksgiving, just different.
Well, they have there's probably more poutine with their Canadian Thanksgiving.
More gravy and cheese curds.
And that's never a problem.
No.
We need to incorporate more of that in the American Thanksgiving.
We could learn a thing or two from Canadian Thanksgiving.
We could change some things around here. By the way, your mustache looks very sturdy.
The whole package, the whole beard is a bit unruly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about the rest of the beard. I'm going, you've got a sturdy mustache working right now.
I think if I shaved, right down to the stash, it would be tops in the locker room, maybe.
Yeah. Well, Justin Falk, but he cheated.
This is cheating, too, because
I know.
I've been growing this for.
And those, I'm not hating on Justin Falk's mustache, because it is almost Magnum P.I. Tom Selleck-esque, almost.
And there are no rules. Like, you can grow a mustache however you like.
No, I cannot.
Players.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I thought it was just me and you here.
You can start clean with a clean slate, clean upper lip at the beginning of November, or you can preload it like Justin Falk did and shave it right down to the good stuff come November 1st.
Yeah,
it's all for a good cause, though. So
if I wanted to get a lip sweater, I'd have to start growing it a year and a half ago.
I was going to say, right now for next year?
Just does not want to grow. That's fine.
Keeps me warm in the winter.
I've got other things for that, like gloves. All right. Well, we can move on. Let's get back to hockey before we play. If you like it, you can take it.
And if not, send it right back.
We're going to get to that in a second. But New York State of Mind, road trip for the Carolina Hurricanes and the games that are coming up right now. You've got the Islanders, the Sabres, the Islanders again, and the Rangers. This is big for a few reasons. One, you're going to play three Metro Division games, which you...
That's one more than this team has played all season long.
And you can make up hay here on everybody if you can put together a winning streak. And, look, Buffalo's defense right now is a mess. That's a road game right now. If you're a playoff team, you go in there, you win that road game. You have to find a way to win that. So this stretch against the teams from New York State, brutally important for this team to keep this forward momentum, because you know what you can't be in this league, Michael? You can't cha-cha. You can't do the two steps forward and two steps back. You have to keep putting a winning streak together like what Columbus did last year. And not everybody's going to go on a 16-game winning streak, but you have to fashion, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games where you're getting points in wins. Like, you're going 6-2 in that stretch. This availability right now, 3-0-2, Isles, Sabres, Isles again. You go 6-0-2 in that stretch, now we're not just talking about a wild card. You're right in the thick of the top three of the division.
And you know what's after that Rangers game? American Thanksgiving. And as we've heard Bill Peters say before, you look at the standings on American Thanksgiving and you sort of get an idea for how the playoff structure might look, because there's just not a ton of movement in the standings afterwards. Now, does that mean it's impossible?
But I want to refrain from that this year, because if you take a look,
it's
every division, even teams that, you know, appear to be out of it. And I mean, there's a few, like Arizona's out of it.
Right. Well, you don't want to be as Arizona.
But almost every other division, I would tell you right now, there's 31 teams in the league and 28 have a shot of making the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
The entire Metro has a shot at making the playoffs.
It's wide open, and making it even more wide open is the fact that the Hurricanes have only played two divisional games. So you look at these games upcoming, Islanders, Rangers, even beyond that, Columbus again before the end of the month. Those are big games in which points can swing. You know, the Hurricanes in Columbus just a few days ago, were able to capture 2 points and also prevent Columbus from getting 2 points. That's the proverbial 4-point swing. These are big games coming up, and I know, you know, it's only middle of November, but we've talked about it before. The Hurricanes want to ride this momentum. They want to continue forward and put themselves in a good position to be successful. You don't want to get buried too early, and the Hurricanes, I think, are in a good spot, especially considering you look at the amount of games they've played. It's a few less than most other teams in the league. They're going to catch up to that eventually. And you have to win those games, of course, for those games in hand to be meaningful. But the Hurricanes, with a good slate of games upcoming, a chance to really gain some ground in the division and keep climbing in the standings.
Look, games in hand are nice. Can we set something up on the Canes cast right now?
Sure.
I should almost save this for if you like it, take it. If you don't,
we'll save it.
Send it right back. That's what I'll do. Save. I'm going to save games in hand for coming back.
Okay.
All right. So that'll be coming up in just a second. But overall, let's just focus on these next four games for the Canes. What is, in your mind, doable and what, or at least acceptable? I mean, we'd like to say 8 points. That'd
right.
be great.
And I think I overshot the doable and acceptable and all
October.
That last time.
Yeah, October, you were way over.
But You want to take 4 of 4 at home against the Islanders and the Rangers next week before Thanksgiving. The start of a 4-game homestand, too, by the way. You want to take 4 of 4 there just because you're facing divisional opponents. Those points are mightily important. On the road, you know, you cut the team a bit more leeway. Maybe 2 of 4, 3 of 4 would be excellent. 4 of 4 would be amazing. But stealing a game maybe in the island and then coming back home after Buffalo to face the Islanders and Rangers, you want to see the team put together, I would say, 6 of 8 points. That seems
6 points.
Tough.
No, 6 points is
but,
that's what I'm looking at, Mike. I know that you were going to expound on it, but I'm with you. I think 6 points is the number.
Yeah, and you know, that's playing at the level they've been playing at. So it's certainly not impossible. It's certainly not not doable, if we want to put a double negative on it. But the Hurricanes are going to have to keep up the pace they've been playing at. They're going to need offensive contributions from everyone. They're going to need the power play to keep producing. And if the other night against Dallas is any indication, I think we're going to see good things soon.
Yeah.
Scott Darling, Cam Ward, they're probably going to need both of them with that Buffalo-New York back-to-back, and that's a 22-hour difference there with travel, so probably going to see both goaltenders there. They're going to need everybody, and I think 6 of 8 points is ideal. And I think this team is capable of doing it. And when they do that at American Thanksgiving, they might be sitting in a playoff spot.
Yeah, and that's what they're going to have to do. And again, this stretch, I'm going to, once again, borrow from Bill Peters. How big is this game coming up against the Islanders?
It's the biggest game of the year.
Until you play the Buffalo Sabres.
Exactly.
And so that's where it is, and that's where this team has put themselves. But, you know, I don't want to already do the looking back and say what if, but – this is a stretch where you can erase what-ifs if you can put together 6 of 8 points against these New York State teams. All right, before we get into a little game that we play here on Canes Cast, this is the yet-to-be-named podcast, but I think it's something with Stahl, something Stahl.
Yeah, something so, Stahl.
Something Stahl. We'll get that
something
all figured out here when we put it out on iTunes and Google Play, which, again, please rate, please review.
Please rate, please review. If you really like us, you can email us, which Andrew did. He wrote us a very fine email. I'm just going to take a little time here to read it. He said he left Canes Cast a 5-star review on iTunes.
Thank you.
So cheers to that,
Andrew. Cheers to you. You're a good man, Andrew.
You're a good fellow. He says it's nice to finally have a good hockey podcast to listen to ever since ESPN canceled Hockey Today. What makes it even better is that my new favorite hockey podcast is focused on my favorite team, the Carolina Hurricanes. It can be a pain to find good media on the Hurricanes, so I'm really thankful that you two have put out this podcast. That's very kind of you, Andrew, and that's sort of what we were hoping to do with this podcast. Yep. is to give fans a different avenue to consume information about the Hurricanes, because I write stuff. Mike, you're in front of the camera giving us daily video reports from practice, talking to players.
And some behind-the-scenes stuff.
Some people might just prefer to listen to things on their way home or whatever. So that's what this podcast is for. Glad you're enjoying it.
And I somewhat remember this was my job for a long time. A little different.
You make a good point.
And if you guys keep liking this, you know what? We're not above bribery.
No.
We'll give stuff away on the Canes Cast.
Yeah, whatever. If you bring us things and we enjoy them, then, you know, we'll plug whatever.
All right. Well, speaking of, we do have, you still have more of the email to get to.
That was just the first paragraph. I really enjoyed episode 16's feature on the strength and conditioning aspect of the organization. Shout out to Billy B.
Bill Berniston.
The
Feel the Burn edition of the Canes
Feel
Cast.
Feel the Burn. He had a great time. Probably the best time.
I would say so. He's one of my best friends.
Andrew says, it's cool that you guys cover all aspects of the team and don't just focus on and rehash the same topics every week. But sometimes we might.
Sometimes. In the course, we appreciate you saying that, but in the course of a 82-game season, we might rehash a few things here and there.
It's bound to happen. And then finally, he says, I was really interested in the hamburgers discussion that you guys touched upon. For local burgers, I'm quite partial to Chuck's in downtown Raleigh.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother level.
That's a whole nother level. Like, we could go through.
Michael and I, we're not going to get too sidetracked with this, but Michael and I have certain levels for burgers. We just don't lump everybody into the hamburger pool and say go from there.
It's unfair.
There's fast food. That's its own level, and that's where we put In-N-Out at the top of the fast food. We're putting In-N-Out with McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King.
Because it's priced accordingly.
Exactly. So we kind of go price, and then there's Five Guys, which is in the same realm as BurgerFi and is the same realm as other. But then there's Chuck, which is, you know, kind of gourmet burgers that has become a big thing. And Michael and I are happy for that.
Yes. Andrew actually mentions Five Guys. We had that for lunch. He says it's his pregame ritual before heading out to PNC Arena. And he also gives a shout out to Hop's Burger Bar in Greensboro. Really, really good burgers there. Have you been there?
I have not, but I've heard good things because I have covered many an event in Greensboro, but I had not gotten over there.
So thank you, Andrew, for sending that email and for rating us and reviewing us on iTunes. Everyone else, you know, if you're listening, if you enjoy the podcast, give us a rating, give us a review, subscribe to us, iTunes, Google Play. We rewarded a loyal listener with a contest last week. We said just, you know, screenshot an episode you were listening to, post it to Twitter, and you might win tickets to an upcoming game. And we have a winner.
It is Murph at jmurph0936. Love the show. You're 16 for 16. I'll hang up and listen to which I will customarily respond with, thanks for the call.
Yeah, all right, so congratulations Murph. Congratulations to Murph. We'll be reaching out to you on Twitter.
This has been printed out on fine paper.
It's very fine paper. Only the best.
Is that off of a 3D printer?
I don't think so. If it prints in 3D, I haven't figured out how to yet.
Well, thank you, Murph. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the kind words. And hopefully we are 17 for 17
and
here on the Canes Cast.
Maybe we'll do something like this again in the future. It seemed to get good reception. You guys seem to enjoy what we do here. Yeah. And we're extremely appreciative of all the kind words that you send us on a weekly basis.
And we are, I hate to put it in these terms, we're kind of dependent on that, because the more you listen, the more we get leeway and freedom to do this, and then it opens up other avenues for us to talk to players and management and all that to be part of the Canes Cast. Plus, we'll slowly take over the world.
Yeah, it's just, this is step one.
All right, so I do not want to make this part of, you know, if you like it, you can take it.
And if not, I will send it right back.
But I wanted to talk about Jeff Skinner's goal-scoring proclivity right now. 9 goals on the season, best pace he's ever had. What have you noticed for Skinner other than he's getting to the crease more than he has in his career? He's scored some greasy goals. Have you noticed anything else about Jeff's game that's popped off the ice to you? One of the things I've noticed is it's not that he's simplified his game, but he's not looking to make a play that isn't there anymore. Maybe that he would have in the past seasons, which is hang on to the puck a little too long or put himself into an area where it's going to put him in a giveaway situation. He's been much smarter with the puck this year, and that, I think, has led to not just opportunities for him but his line mates.
Yeah, and sometimes simpler is better, right? Because when he's – if you try to do too much with the puck, dust it off one too many times – then you allow a defender to either get in your shooting lane or maybe poke the puck off your stick. I think he's been quick and decisive in what he's trying to do with the puck. You know, the other night when he nearly scored there in the slot, the puck sort of set there. The puck came right back to him, and he just got it off his stick into the net. And, you know, Forsberg was out of position, and it goes off the post and in. And then last night, again, just throwing the puck to the net, and good things are going to happen because Bill Peters
easy for
preaches.
You to say. We're going to keep that in here?
Yes.
Okay.
For sure. Bill Peters preaches, say that 10 times quick.
I'm not going to.
That, you know, seconds and thirds are available. And with Skinner throwing the puck to the net, if it's not going in, you're probably going to find seconds and thirds. So I like what he's doing with the puck. And the Hurricanes offense goes as Skinner goes. I think he's definitely the leader of the offense, and he's been hot to start the season, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a very good thing. All right, time for us to bring, I don't want to call it a game, but our newest segment to the show.
Yeah,
we don't have many segments on the show.
No,
really,
we'll build maybe reader email can be a regular segment.
Well, I don't want to take away from tweet mail for you.
Well, it's a different animal.
Brought to you by Tijuana Flats.
Yeah, brought to you by Tijuana Flats. Wear your Hurricanes gear into a participating Raleigh location, Tijuana Flats, on Wednesday, and you get 50% off an entree.
That is an awesome deal. Thank you, Michael Smith, for making that happen.
Thank you, Tijuana Flats.
And thank you to Doug, you know who you are, for setting that deal up.
Yes,
you're a good
thank
man.
You, Doug.
All right, so let's get to it. Time to play.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
So let's go to games in hand that I was talking about. A lot of people like to talk about games in hand. Oh, well, they have X amount or 3 games in hand on these teams, and they're, you know, 5 points behind them. So if they win all their games, then they'll be in front of them. I'm going to make this as a rule. I get that that is a thing, but games in hand only matter if you win them. That's it. So can we please, with 65 games, 67 games, however many games are left by the time you listen.
69, maybe?
To the Canes Cast, that would be nice. But for me, let's just hold off on the games in hand discussion until it's a tangible thing. Like, the Canes are 1 point out of the playoffs with 2 games in hand on Team X. Then that becomes a tangible thing. Right now, just way too early to talk about games in hand. Is that fair? Are you going to take that, or are you going to send it back?
Somewhat. I'm going to halfway take it and halfway leave it back. So I'm basically just going to
– you're just making up your own rules now.
Exactly. I'm just leaving it right.
It's one or the other. It's one or the other. You can't leave it in the middle.
I'm taking it. All right. I'm taking it, and I'm keeping it because it is worth looking at. When you look at the standings, let's say earlier this week, the Hurricanes were near the bottom of the Metropolitan Division, but only because they hadn't played, you know, a couple extra games. If you look at it in terms of point percentage,
yes,
maybe they weren't in, you know, I don't have the stats in front of me. Maybe they weren't last or whatever. If you look at it in terms of points percentage, that gives you a much better idea of where the team is against their peers. And now that the Hurricanes have started to play some more games, you see them moving up in the standings. They still do have a game in hand on, I believe it's Philadelphia, in the last wild card spot. And Philadelphia is 2 points ahead of the Hurricanes. So it is accurate to say at this point in time, the Hurricanes are 2 points out of a playoff spot with a game in hand on Philadelphia.
No, it's accurate to say, but at the same time, actually, they're tied with Philadelphia. It's the Rangers. They're two games
the
behind.
I knew it was somebody.
But you've got, you know, New Jersey, Columbus, Washington, Pittsburgh right now. They're all in front. Then the Islanders and Rangers both have 20 points, and that's just the Metro Division. Then you look at the Atlantic Division. Tampa, Toronto, Ottawa are in. And Detroit has 18 points, so but they've got two more games played. So while it's accurate, I'm just saying you still got to win.
You do, but so, I'm still taking it.
That's fine.
And I'm leaving.
All right, that's fine. You take it, you do what you want to do with that. That's fine. What do you got for me?
Okay, let's talk about this. 3-on-3 overtime. This came up in my tweet mail last week, and I think it's a good discussion. Would you be in favor of 3-on-3 overtime until somebody scores instead of the 5 minutes of 3-on-3 and then a shootout? So basically, you're getting rid of the shootout. You're going to just a pure sudden death format, but it's 3-on-3.
Would I take it? Oh, I would take it, but the NHLPA would never take it.
And that was basically my answer, is I think it's a great idea. You know, you could probably look at stats on you know, how long games might take in terms of extra time, but I don't think you would play more than 10 minutes maybe.
Can I add an addendum to what you just did? And I'm going to take it or send it right back. You play 3-on-3, and I mean, I would say 10 minutes. It's very funny. When I was a little kid, I called into a sports talk show and asked, why don't you play 10-minute overtime? You know, it's just half the period.
You were that kid.
Oh, yeah. Well, just because I was curious, you know, why five? Five seemed to be an arbitrary number. You know, the NFL plays 15 minutes of overtime. The NBA only plays a 5-minute overtime.
And then they keep going.
Yeah, but you keep going until you get a winner.
Like shoot free throws or anything.
No, or a 3-point shot contest or a dunk contest. Hey, it's a magic show. No, not doing that. And the line is, it's such a tough game that anytime you add on, it adds to the danger factor, the injury factor for a team. So that's why that won't happen. So let me change it, but I'm going to take it. I'm like, let's keep going until we get a winner 3-on-3. Because I think you'd probably get one before 10 minutes.
Yeah, because eventually, especially now with the long change, you're going to have a line change that goes awry. You're going to have a shot on a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-1 that goes wide and then goes right back the other way. I don't think games would take that long to finish above the 5-minute threshold.
All right, so here's what I'm going to add, and this is not going to be popular because evidently everybody wants a win or a loss. But you play the 5-minute 3-on-3, and if you're tied after that, you're tied. We don't have a shootout.
I'm going to leave that where it is.
All right.
I like having
I'll keep it. I'll keep that on my side.
Yeah, I like having a winner and a loser. You know, the 3-point games with the extra point.
That's what drives me crazy, cuz a magic point falls out of the sky, Michael.
So we can fix that and still have winners and losers. That can be fixed.
Well, we could say just make regular season games worth 3 points, but the NHL won't do that cuz it ruins the sanctity of the record book, but they've already done it by adding 3-point games.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So. But
sorry, I was getting on a rant there.
But the shootout, I don't completely dislike it. I still like it for the fact that it decides that it makes a game final. You have a winner and you have a loser. I'm not completely selling the shootout down the river. I still enjoy it to a certain degree.
I just don't, because no other sport ends a regulation game with a contest. They end it with a natural flow of the game. You know, it'd be baseball saying we're going to have a home run hitting contest. Basketball, we already talked about it. You know, I don't know what the NFL would do, but it just, to me, it then becomes, hey, you've played this way for 65 minutes to try to decide the game. Now we're going to try to decide it in a completely different way. And look, maybe part of it is I'm jaded because we know the Canes haven't been very good at the shootout in overtime. But the part of me that looks at it is there was nothing wrong with a tie before. And you get certain teams that get inflated numbers because of it, because they find a way. They're good at the shootout. You know, they might not be a great team, but they've got good players for the shootout. And that's just why I could live with a tie. But I also grew up with ties. I mean, I know you came in to really being a hockey fan 20 years ago when the Canes became a thing in the 20th season of the Canes this year. And Canes never, you know, ties never bothered me, Michael.
I saw ties, and they were fine. They were just fine.
People love soccer, and they have ties. They have nothing ties everywhere. People wig out over, you don't like that? Well, what's wrong with you?
I don't like that at all.
Well, I also don't like that.
I'm a snobby American sports fan.
I also don't like that they end that with penalty kicks either. That's the same thing.
Yeah. I think the solution is to just keep 3-on-3 going.
All right. I told you I'd take it.
The only logical thing. I think
I'd take it.
If the NHL were to do that, obviously it would take tremendous buy-in from the PA.
Yes.
But you'd probably have to either shorten the schedule.
Yes.
Or expand the playing time from, you know, maybe you play till the end of April or something, because you wouldn't be able to have as many. The Hurricanes have 18 back-to-backs. You
would shorten the season. And
right.
A proposal that I would have, and this is another one, and we're just speaking off of the cuff here on Canes.
Oh, we're spitballing.
Yeah, we're making this up as we go. This is one that if you like it, you can take it. And if not, you can send it right back to me and Michael Smith. But with the Western Conference, it would then turn into you'd only play the Western Conference teams once a year. Shorten the schedule that way. You play them once a year, and one division comes east, and one division goes west. Meaning, like, the Canes would play the Pacific Division, but the Central Division would come to Carolina. Then the next year would go reverse. The Canes would go to the Central Division, and the Pacific would come here. And I don't know if you've got to be careful with that microphone, man. That is just egregious.
I'm sure we could have
Chuck Caton would not approve of that.
Wow. Proud noise only. I'm sure we could have head athletic trainer Doug Bennett in here, and he would tell us we're both fools for proposing extra time in an already tough NHL hockey game.
I know it shouldn't be done,
right?
But as a fan,
sure.
Oh, I'll take it. Yeah. Give me more 3-on-3. So that's what I say. Michael Smith, we are heading to New York City. New York, the city so nice. They named it twice. I can't say that correctly, but we'll get it figured out. The question on the table for you, quite enjoy comedy.
I do.
As do I. Live stand-up comedy. Feel you should support that whenever you can.
Yes.
We have a good opportunity to go see some comics. If I asked you right now, the comic you would most want to see live.
Ooh. Jerry Seinfeld.
Really? Seinfeld? Like, I'm like, we're sitting in the comedy cellar and onto the stage.
If he dropped in, that would be amazing. I've seen, like, you know, Aziz Ansari has dropped in, Jeff Ross, Dave Attell, Jay Farrow. We were there when he dropped in.
He was outstanding.
And they're all excellent when they drop in, but like a legend like Seinfeld would just be, it'd be a once in a lifetime sort of thing.
Yeah, that would
especially in like that kind of venue. Like, you could pay to go see him at, you know, around here.
No,
at
I'm
Deepak
talking about like
or
a
something.
Small venue,
right?
Like,
but if you could see him there, it would be great.
Yeah, I mean, as far as comics go for me, I've been fortunate. I've seen a lot of good ones. I mean, I've seen Dave Attell. I saw George Carlin live.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But like, I haven't seen Seinfeld. I mean, Seinfeld would be on the list.
I'd
be pretty excited if we're there and he goes, "What are you all doing here? Yeah. What's the story with you people?"
Have you seen his most recent Netflix special?
I have not.
It's tremendous. And that's sort of what's sticking in my head now of like, I would really love to see him.
I'd love to see Bill Burr in person.
That would be good. Yeah,
I'm a big fan
good.
Of Bill Burr. I'm a big fan of his podcast. Bill Burr in person would be one I'd love to see, because I've been told that Bill Burr is my spirit animal, and I agree with this.
There you go. Maybe we'll stumble upon him one time. One time I was standing outside of the cellar, and Judd Apatow he had just finished a set down there, and I think that would be interesting to hear his stand-up, because he comes from a varied background of writing and, yep. and television and movies, but he does dabble in some stand up, and he sort of has this mind that I feel like I would kind of connect with. So
right, well, there, look at you. I don't know how good his stand up would be, because sometimes writers aren't good stand up comedians.
And that's sort of the joy of going to these small clubs, is you get to see these guys really working out some of the material. Like when Aziz dropped in when I was there once, he had an iPad or something and was just sort of reading off jokes, and like, you know, the ones that stuck, but the ones that didn't, and you know, he'd scrap them and move on. So it's a really unique environment, and I love visiting New York for the stand-up comedy scene.
All right, and for the hamburgers as well.
Yes.
We'll get to that down the road. That'll do it for this edition, episode, I can't believe, 17?
Wow, they've let us do 17
17 editions of the Canes Cast.
Do they know we're doing these?
And we're still getting guests. They actually pulled Jordan Stahl out of the locker room for us today.
Yeah. He was, you know, we requested him, and he said no more than 5 minutes.
Yeah. And we took him, I think, 4:30, if we look at this correctly. But that'll do it for this edition of the Canes Cast. No stalling around here.
No stalling. Stall good.
No, not it. For Hurricanes.com's webmaster, web reporter, web writer, web everything, he is Michael Smith.
And for TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.